Praise the Lord, Pentecostal Church. I think I got about this side. Praise the Lord, Pentecostal Church. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord today, can we? Clap your hands, all you people. Oh, hallelujah. With a shout unto God, because we have triumphed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Before you're seated, why don't you find two or three people around you and just allow the wealth that God has put into your life of encouragement to spill over into them. Why don't you just encourage somebody in the Lord right now? Why don't you just tell them they look nice, they smell delightful? Amen. You're glad to be worshiping with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be here, honored to be Pentecostal Church of Harvey. As I was pulling onto 164th Street off of Halstead, I was thinking about the fact that I have been connected with this church. Our family's been connected with this church for 40 years. 40 years of able to worship and minister and the goodness of God. I bring you greetings from your sister church just to the south, First Apostolic Church of Steger. Yeah, my wife and children would love to be at both places, but they're on the platform there leading worship and helping with that service. But it's great to be here. Thank you to Brother Wellman. Appreciate those kind remarks and what a great example of First Apostolic Church of Steger he is. We brag on him all the time. Amen. And thankful that he's one of those that came up through the ministry there and has done fantastic. All of your campus pastors, we give you honor, and all the great saints of the Lord. So many of you I've known for years, others just now seeing you for the first time. But oh, we're all a part of the family of God. We're all together in this thing, worshiping one Lord, believing one faith. I was baptized in Jesus' name. How were you baptized? You know what? And I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in other tongues. How did you get the Holy Ghost? Did you get it just like I got it? Hey, this thing is real, friend. It's not just in Harvey or Steger. This is how he does it. It's how he does it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. I direct you into the word of the Lord today. Praise God. If you've enjoyed the atmosphere that prayer has ushered in to this sanctuary today, you are really going to enjoy heaven, because the same special glory that has been felt today is going to be in greater capacity there. But we get a little foretaste of it. Amen. The Bible calls it a divine foretaste. Amen. And we are people that were made for this kind of presence. We were made to dwell in this kind of atmosphere. Deuteronomy chapter number 26 is where I direct your attention. We're going to be looking at a number of verses there in this chapter. But just for the sake of launching into the message today, I want to read the first three verses, Deuteronomy 26. Moses is speaking to the people again, and he is giving them just a reminder of what he's already shared from the Lord to them, but so that it would be something they would not forget. He says this, and when you, it shall be when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God hath given thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest. This is verse number 3. Thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. Notice, they bring their basket of the first of all the fruit. They bring it to the priest with a profession. This basket and me are here in the land that the Lord has given unto us. I want to preach about a basket full of blessing. How many feels blessed today? I hope you do, because you are blessed. We're blessed. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for supplying all of our need according to your riches and glory. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand through every which way you bless us that there is even more ahead for people that will walk with God. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. High five your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. You may be seated. It was down in the basement here many years ago in a youth service that I first played the game telephone. Sister Ann was probably there, and I don't know if anyone else from my generation are here. Brother Crutchfield might have been down there playing, but we played a game called telephone. Maybe you've played it before. It's a game where you get a group of people together and somebody makes a certain statement, says some kind of a statement, whatever it may be, nothing really remarkable, and it gets passed from one individual to the next. If you got 15 or 20 people, each of them telling the person that they're standing by, and then you get all the way around the group, and then you ask the last person what was said. And when they repeat what they had heard passed down to them and what was originally said, if you've ever played the game, you realize somehow in the passing of the information, something was lost. The information was changed somehow, and now it's ridiculous what they that were at the end thought they were hearing. An individual by the name of Michael Malone, writing about the power of our memory, said this, that a popular theory holds that short-term memory consists of four systems. These systems are what imprints information as memories within our mind. First is what is known as the phonological, I believe is how you say it, phonological. This is how something sounded to us, or how we heard ourselves speak it. Maybe when you meet somebody brand new, you'll ask them what their name is, and you'll repeat back to them their name. So now you've heard it, and now you've heard yourself say it. That's one way to help imprint upon your mind a memory. There's the other one. This is, they call the continuous rehearsal system. This is the way that you remember, say, a telephone number that you're trying to write down on paper, 588-2300, 588-2300. I've got to get the carpet guy here, and so I'm going to run as fast as I can, and I'm going to write the number down so I don't, how many's ever done something like that? All the way to the pin, you're like repeating it over and over and over again. Then there's another one that is called the visual spatial sketch, some kind of a interesting one here. This is where you store information by making a mental map or mental image of it. You build in your mind this whole way of just remembering what it looked like, what it made you feel like. And then The last one is called the episodic buffer, and that's the when you gather all the information from all the other systems and you integrate them, and it helps you remember. So now you've got the sound and the sight and the way you felt about it and the mental picture that you created so that later you can kick yourself when you forgot. Because we all have short-term memory issues, that is for sure. In Deuteronomy chapter number 26, we see that God is giving the children of Israel a little memory practice through Moses. It's a little credo, if you please. A credo is a set of beliefs or principles or opinions that strongly influence the way that a person lives or works. And this credo was for the purpose of helping them to remember who they were, remember where they had come from, remember how they had got to where they were. And we read in our text, the Lord spoke through Moses, and he said, it shall be when you come into the land the Lord thy God hath given thee for an inheritance, and you possess it, and you dwell therein, that you should take of the first of all the fruit of the earth. And thou shalt bring of thy land this fruit the Lord that given to you, and you'll put it in a basket. You're going to bring it. To the priest there in the place where the Lord has put his name. I know I'm going to preach a while today, so I brought some snacks with me. All right, and so they have their basket, and this is the first fruits of that which has been produced in their particular field, and they're admiring all of the things. My, look at this. Have you ever seen an apple this particular color before? Look. I think we're gonna have another good harvest season of grapes. You remember the grapes, right? The grapes last year, there was so many of them that we had to carry them on between two people. It was they were so heavy. It was amazing. Look at the orange there. That's a beautiful color orange. Oh, these bananas are gonna be so sweet. I know that Brother Del Monte and Brother Chiquita, they're not going to be able to enjoy bananas like's in my field. God is blessing my field. That's for sure. And the priest takes the basket from him, and then he sets it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. He said, this is the land of your inheritance. God had promised the land. You remember Abraham? Abraham, you're going to go on a journey. You're going to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. You're going to go walk in every place that the sole of your foot touches. I'm going to give to you and to your seed forever. This is your land. This was rightfully yours by the decree of the Lord. It's a valuable, valuable land, and it's going to continue to produce value. God wants you to have it, Abraham, and God wants your children to enjoy it forever and ever. Oh, that's right, Abraham. You don't have any sons right now, but one of these days you're going to have a son, and then from him is going to come such a heritage of children that you're not even going to be able to number them. It's going to be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Abraham, I'm going to bless you abundantly. Oh, brothers and sisters, today I'm preaching to some people that have been blessed. I'm preaching to some people that ought to know every day you wake up from where your blessings have come from and what to expect in the day ahead. The God that blessed you yesterday is the God that's going to bless you today. If he ever brought you through something in the past, he still knows how to bring you through it again in the future. Oh, hallelujah. He gave us an inheritance, and it's a blessed place. God doesn't give us trash. God doesn't give us the leftovers. Amen. He said, you're going to enter. You're going to come into this land. It's going to happen. I know you've been in Egypt. I know you've been wandering now out of Egypt for 40 years. But you're going to make an entrance. Delay does not mean that you've been denied. I've just been preparing you for the place that you're now not only going to enter, but you're going to take possession of it. It's going to become yours. It's something you're going to take unto yourself. You're going to begin to call it home. It's not just Canaan. It's home to me. Hallelujah. It's where I belong. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to identify it with it. I'm going to love it like Abraham loved it. I'm going to treat it respectfully. I'm going to honor it. This land has been given unto us from God. And so we're going to take entrance there. We're going to possess it. And then the word of the Lord says you're going to dwell there. Oh, hallelujah, a place to dwell. You know what we don't need in the church is a bunch of spiritual vagabonds traveling in and out, in and out, in and out. We need some people that realize this is a good land. This is a good place. I'm going to dwell here. I'm going to put some roots down here. Hallelujah. I'm going to make this home. If you're on the fence about whether or not you ought to make this home, this is a good place to call home. This is a good place to begin to put some seed in the ground. It's going to come up. It's going to produce a harvest. It's going to bring a blessing, not just for you, but it's going to bless your children. It's going to bless your grandchildren. I'm preaching to families here that mama came in and father came in, the children came in, and grandkids are now in the church. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You're going to dwell there. You're going to find rest there. And then in Deuteronomy chapter number 26 and verse number 2, the Lord begins to speak about the first fruits, of the land. Notice, He's asking them to bring a portion of the harvest to the Lord. It's not the whole harvest. It's just the first of the harvest. It's just that which ripened at the very beginning. And when they begin to gather the first fruits of the harvest, they begin to look at it and they remember that this is not for me. This is not mine. I'm gathering it, but I'm going to take it somewhere, and I'm going to do something with it, but I'm not losing it. This isn't something that I'm going to have to put down on the lost column of my spreadsheet. It's not being wasted anyway, shape, or no, friend. When I begin to gather these oranges, and I begin to gather these bananas, and I begin to gather these grapes, I begin to rejoice. No, I'm not going to taste of these, but there's more coming. Oh, hallelujah. There's more on the way. This is just the first fruits. This is just the beginning of what's coming. The harvest, I see it. It's heavy laden on the vines. I see it. There's more in store than what I've already begun to appreciate. And this basket testifies to me that I'm about to have a harvest. Oh, hallelujah. Put it in the basket. Put it in the basket and bring it before the Lord. Baskets are common gathering of the harvest, and they'd bring it before the Lord. It was just a single basket. He didn't tell them that they needed to get an ox cart and put everything in. No, he's not asking for all of it. He's just telling them to bring a basket. When they bring that basket, amen, maybe they'd even begin to think about, their patriarch Moses. He was put in a basket. He was one of them, hallelujah, that remembered who he was. He began to think about the fact when we were all in Egypt that even though he was raised, amen, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was not an Egyptian. He wasn't supposed to stay there in Egypt, that God was going to call him out, hallelujah, because he remembered his mama telling him a long time ago when they told us to put you in the Nile River, I made a basket, and I put you in the basket, and I floated you down the river, and you were escaped from harm because Pharaoh daughter who was there in the river found you as you were crying in your basket. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And they remembered, oh, God had a plan for Moses, and so God has a plan for me. He was my father. He was my father. And if God has a plan for the father, he's got a plan for the son. He's got a plan for the daughter. He's got a plan for the children that are going to follow after. This God we serve is not just good for one generation. This God we serve was not good in Harvey just in the 70s and 80s and 90s. But he's a God that already met with us this morning. And he said, you know what? I'm going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They brought their basket. They gave it to the priest. He emptied it out. It stayed there in the temple. They took their basket on back home. They took it back home where they could fill it back up again. Oh, hallelujah. And they could fill it up again. And they could fill it up again and again and again. Kind of reminds me of the time when Jesus fed the multitude on two different occasions. And the Bible says he took the fish and the bread and he broke it and he blessed it and broke it and passed it out. And the disciples came back to the Lord and said, we got more than enough. He said, all right, get your baskets. There's 12 basketfuls in one occasion. There's 7 basketfuls in another occasion. When my God begins to perform miracles, he doesn't just stop the miracle when everybody's had enough. He says, you're going to need something for tomorrow. You're going to need something for next week. You're going to need more for the future. And I'm going to let you know I can make more than enough. My God is more than enough. He can supply all of my needs. Oh, hallelujah. Take the basket. Take the basket. We're going to take the basket to the place where the God has chosen. This is a special place. What makes this place different? This place that is different from any other place is because this is the place that God has chosen to put his name there. He that inhabits all space, amen, he that could not be bound up in one particular location chose to allow that place, amen, that tabernacle in the wilderness, and then later, amen, the temples that they were building under his glory, but it was a place where God said, my name is going to dwell. Amen. There's going to be people that know who I am. Hallelujah. The Canaanites worshipped a lot of different gods. Egypt had a lot of different gods. There was places in the world where they didn't know who to call on. They didn't have a name. Oh, hallelujah. But the Israelites had a God with a name, and they could go to that God, and they could declare his name. They could say, this is my God. Oh, hallelujah. And I tell you, friend, I can go to him, hallelujah, in his name. He says, ask in my name. Come in my name. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. I'm so glad I know the name of Jesus. I know that it's a name above every name. Oh, praise God. I put my basket where the name is. I don't put my basket in any old place. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Of the countries of the world that have various idols, they'll have places around those idols where people can bring baskets and they can lay fruit there and they can make offerings unto those gods that they serve but that aren't real gods. Those are idols. They have eyes that look like they should see but they don't see, and ears fashioned upon them but they don't hear. They got a nose fashioned upon them but it doesn't smell. It's a dead thing. Oh, hallelujah. But you and I are in the presence of a living God today. Hallelujah. That's why we brought our baskets with us today. That's why we're bringing everything, amen, to the Lord. We didn't come empty-handed. We came to worship him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength because we have been blessed. I didn't come to get blessed. I brought my blessing with me. I came blessed. I'm still blessed from last Sunday. I'm still blessed from last Thursday. I'm still blessed from a week ago. Hallelujah. I didn't come empty saying, God, I hope you got something for me because I'm down and I'm almost at. No, friend, I come blessed. My basket's full. My basket's in the place where he put his name. So I identify with his name. I identify with him. I'm not ashamed of the name. I'm not ashamed to bear his name. Hallelujah. I'm a one God apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. there is a name above every name. And at the mention of that name, we sung about it, demons bow. At the mention of that name, lives are healed. At the mention of that name, people be restored. Somebody today needs to say the name. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. We bring our basket to a designated place. I wouldn't want to take my basket to any church that didn't know the name. There's a lot of churches here in our world today that are afraid to say the name. Because when you say the name Jesus now, it's inclusive. It means that you're saying that all the other gods aren't comparable. You're saying, I got invited a number of years ago to go pray at the state capitol in Springfield. I read the letter. I thought immediately, well, that'd be awesome, until I got to the bottom of the letter. At the bottom of the letter, it said, we request humbly that when you end your prayer, that you do not mention any particular name. Brother Crutchfield, they wanted me to get up there and pray a nice, pretty prayer while they stood around and contemplated all the deals of the day. And then they wanted me to say, you know, in the name of God or in the name of a heavenly creator. I said, I ain't making a trip to Springfield. If they're not going to let me in my prayer in the name of Jesus, I don't want to waste my breath. I don't just pray to the stars. I'm not praying to the sun, the moon. I didn't bring a prayer that elevates the rose. No, 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 no. When I go to prayer, I pray in the name above every name. When I'm sick, I want somebody that knows how to say the name Jesus. When I'm down and discouraged, I need somebody that knows how to speak the name. Oh, hallelujah. And I don't take that name in vain. And I'm not your pastor, but you listen to me. I am a pastor. You're watching something on your television. You put something in your DVD player, and it starts taking the name of Jesus in vain. You rip that cord out of the wall. You throw that disc aside. Why? Because that name is holy. That name is worthy. I've cast out devils using that name. I prayed for people and they got healed when I used that name. I'm not going to let Hollywood say that name as some kind of cuss word. I've seen the power of the name of Jesus. I've seen dirty, rotten sinners go down in a watery grave and come out resurrected to newness of life, all because of the name. It's not the water, it's the name. I'm so glad I've been buried in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You take your basket where the name is. You take your basket where the name is. Hallelujah. That's the designated place. You can't just designate any old place for your basket. He said, you bring your basket. Amen. Hallelujah. Give it to the priest. He'll put it in the designated place. It kind of reminds me of Cain's offering. Cain and Abel, remember the two brothers brought offerings unto the Lord, and the Bible says that God received Abel's offering but did not have respect for Cain's offering. I'm sure Cain's offering looked beautiful. He came strutting up to that altar area. He had his basket. Oh, look at all of the fruit in my basket. Abel looked over and said, man, buddy, you're doing well. You have a green thumb, and we never even had anybody teach us how to do this kind of gardening, but look what you're doing. There, that's great. Yeah, God's going to be pleased. He's going to be pleased with my offering. But the Bible says the Lord showed no respect to Cain's offering. Why was that? Because there was a pattern that had been put into place way back in the Garden of Eden. Amen. A pattern that God had given them about how sacrifice was supposed to be made. And the sacrifice was in the way that, amen, that Abel did it. He brought a lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That lamb foreshadowed the lamb that was to come. And that lamb was sacrificed and its blood was spilled upon the ground there. And it would bring redemption. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to get my mind on the wrong things. Praise God. I don't want to have a misplaced offering. I don't want to just put my offering anywhere. I don't want to just bring my gifts anywhere. No, no, no. There's a special place for my gifts to go. You got gifts and talent that the Lord gave you. You don't need to give them, amen, to the world. You need to give them to God. You need to make sure that it's all about the glory of God. Whatever you're going to do with your talent, whatever you're going to do with your ability, first and foremost, I'm giving it to God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm giving it to God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 26 and 3, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. I could almost see that priest as he heard that profession by the individuals bringing their baskets as he looked upon the baskets. Back in my day, whenever somebody said something that just, well, you know, was totally obvious, he would say, no duh. No duh. Anybody say that anymore? No, no duh. It's like the priest said, yeah, I know where you come from. I know where you've been. Not every country has this kind of harvest. Not every ground produces this kind of blessing. Hallelujah. I profess that I am a part of the people of this country that the Lord swear unto my fathers. And the priest took the basket and they offered it unto the Lord. And the people worshiped before the God that had given them the blessing. We profess and then we produce. Amen. We profess first the blessings of God and then we see what God can do in our lives. We do it at the altar of the Lord. We do it there in the presence of God. We've identified with the altar, not with the fruit of our labor. Amen. I don't identify with the fruit of my labor. God has used me many different ways, just like he's used you. But we're not sitting around, amen, writing our own autobiography and patting ourselves on the back as if we're the hero of every story. No, no, no. Friend, we know, amen, from where our blessings have come from. Amen, the altar of God in our life. We identify with the altar, not with the fruit of our labor. You may come to the altar today and receive something from the Lord, but don't go out just shouting about your blessing. Amen. Don't just go out shouting about that which will wither on the vine. You shout about the place. You shout about where it is. Hallelujah. The altar is a fruitful place. The altar's where this kind of thing happens. So we stay close to the altar. Can I tell you this today, that God is looking for where I am more than what I do. Sometimes we think God is just concerned about what we do, and what we do is a reflection about where we've been. What you do will always align with where you are. God is looking for where I am more than what I do. No, 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 he's going to accept this because I'm doing it for him. I'm singing for him. I'm dancing for him. He's got to accept this. No, he said, where did that come from? Hallelujah. It came from the altar. Then I'm going to be able to receive it. Brother Wellman is familiar. Maybe some of you know Brother Tim Gaddy. He was raised in our church in Steger. He's been gone since college years, and now he's the district superintendent of the great state of Arkansas. But when he moved down there, he moved when he lived up here, he lived in Homewood. Hey, man, you know where Homewood is. He lived in Homewood. He was raised there. And then he went off to college, then he ended up in Arkansas. And I was talking to him one time, and he's like, yeah, he said, I got down here in Arkansas. And he said, I realized after a little while that if I was going to fit in with everybody, he said, I had to make some changes in my life. He said, if I was going to be around the men, I had to learn how to shoot a gun. I had to learn how to hunt. I had to get excited about catching a fish. I had to get a camper trailer. And he said, yeah, he said, this weekend, I was talking to him this weekend, he said, we're a whole bunch of the couples are going out to a state park. And he said, I got my brand new camper and I got my shotgun and we're going to have a good time. Hey, man, he said, I never did that in Homewood. In Chicago, there wasn't a whole lot of that. kind of opportunity. But I got down here and I got to a new place. Where you are oftentimes will cause you to do certain things. That's why it's dangerous to be around the wrong kind of people. Where are you? Well, that's why we say things like, by their fruit you shall know them, right? Amen. Where you are will determine what you do. When you get in an atmosphere like this, things begin to change. Priorities begin to be reordered. Hallelujah. The things you once hated, you now loved. And the things you once loved, you now hated. What happened? I got around the altar. I began to find a place where I belonged. You can only do right things with the wrong motives. For a little while. Well, I'm doing the right thing. What's your motive? Well, I'm not going to tell you what my motive is. Oh, I'm just kind of camouflaging that side of it. And you may do the right thing for a while, but if your motives are wrong, God's going to shut you down. He is going to shut you down. He's going to close his blessings. Your fruitfulness is going to dry up on the vine. Oh, hallelujah. How do I keep my motives right? I stay around the altar. I stay humbled around the presence of God. Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They haven't ever learned it for themselves. It's just been taught them by the precepts of men. Friend, I love to teach and preach and do everything that God has called me to do as the pastor of the flock that he's led me to. But there's got to be more than just somebody coming week after week to hear me teach. Amen. My teaching is supposed to cause them, amen, to have an experience. Because it needs to go from here down to here. It has to get in your heart. Or you'll lose it. You'll lose it in the process. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And so he tells them, this is what you're going to say. And they begin to share their testimony. I love this. Look at verse number 5 now. Deuteronomy 26 and verse number 5. And this is what they're supposed to say unto the Lord. And thou shalt